The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Star Power Hour, brought to you by ForTalent.com. We'll cover what's hot in the arts and entertainment industry. Our guests will talk about projects they're currently working on and what they're about to do next. You don't want to miss today's show. Now, here is your host, James Barber.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber on VoiceAmerica.com, brought to you by ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. For those of you guys who have not logged on to ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network, I advise you to log on to ForTalent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Have I plugged that enough? I think it was like six times in the first 5 minutes. Anyway, guys, so, you know, it's a great tool for, you know, people in the arts and entertainment world that are, you know, either getting into the biz or have been in the biz and want to connect to people in the biz. It's basically, you know, like a high-level Facebook, but for the arts and entertainment world. So check it out. And let's see. Last week we had Scott Brody on, and we talked all about Oz the Great and Powerful, the film that is out starring James Franco. I cut my arm off in that one movie and still survived. Didn't he get nominated for an Academy Award? I don't remember. I just thought it was weird. We talked about it. I was like, you know, I'm not a professional climber by any means, but, you know, I do dive, not like Greg Louganis dive. For those of you youngins, Greg Louganis dove into water, hit his head once. But I dive, like scuba dive. And the first rule of thumb is never dive by yourself. And this dude went out hiking by himself and got his arm stuck in a rock. And then they made a movie about him because he cut his arm off with a pocket knife. Anyway, so he's in that film, Oz the Great and Powerful. And we had him on. We talked about DVD releases. We talked about all kinds of stuff. My guest this week, I have known since Dirt was clean and the year one. He's much, much older than I am. I'd say probably 100 or 150 years older than I am, which makes him about 151. And he's an incredible performer. I'm joking. But, you know, I met him doing Secret Garden. He was the star of the tour Secret Garden. He's been in Les Mis. He's been in, well, we'll talk about it. Juilliard grad. He owns, well, didn't own, I guess we'll talk about that too. Was the artistic director of a theater that he established, which is hugely successful, is a massive director. And he's also an incredible acting teacher with a great success rate. So I wanted to bring him on just because he's a lot of fun and he's a great friend. And he's also in Donnybrook with me. And we hadn't worked together since 1992. I was 2 then, and he was 75 in 1992. And now we're in Donnybrook together. And I want to bring him on. Kevin McGuire, are you here, buddy?
I am. I am indeed. Well, that was some introduction there, James.
Yeah, you sound young.
I'm 84 now. Yeah.
Really? That's great. Are you on, like, some respirator or anything like that?
I'm on a respirator, yeah. I've got a heart monitor. I've got a respirator. I have an iron lung. I sleep in an oxygen tent. It's incredible.
You could be the imaginary invalid all by yourself.
Oh yeah, and have I did
and in your
yeah.
house.
It's incredible. But you know, I get work and that's good. You know, it's a good thing. I can still stand up. So this is good. Yeah,
that's good.
It was 100 years ago, wasn't it? How long ago? 91, right? 92. Yeah.
92. It was a tour of 92.
Right.
But that cast, they talk about it. You want to talk about the cast? You want to tell people about the cast?
You were a baby then. I mean, you were a youngster.
I was not young. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not young now?
Yeah. You're older now because it was 1992 and we're now in 2013. So
hey,
there you
are?
Go. The cast, the first national of Secret Garden, the tour was an amazing cast. Audra McDonald was the Aya and Doug Stills was, Neville, and you were William, and Roger Bart was Dickon, and Anne Renolfson was Lily,
Yeah.
And Jacqueline Pirro was I think Rose, right?
Rose.
Isn't that right? And Susie McMonagle. I mean, what wonderful people.
And you were Archie.
And I was Archie. I was Uncle Archie. I was Minnie Mandy.
You were, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because I actually understudied Doug in that. It was my first like thing, and then Doug understudied you. But when Doug was out, I did it with you, and we got to sing Lily's Eyes, which was an incredible. You know, I thought about playing the original Broadway cast version of Lily's Eyes, but I liked our version, so I'm not going to play it.
Oh yeah, but it was a great cast, and it was very successful. The tour was very successful, made a lot of money.
Did
for everybody, and it was a big hit. So you know, it was all good. Susan Shulman directed it, and Lucy Simon and Marcia Mason. Look at me, Marcia Norman. Yeah, Marcia Mason.
Yeah, Michael Lichtenfeld.
Yeah, I mean, it was really quite a good group. And then when I saw you at the first day of rehearsal, Donnybrook, I didn't know you were going to be in Donnybrook, so I was thrilled. Surprised and thrilled, and you really haven't changed much, James. That's really the shocking thing. I have greatly changed, but I've grown, matured, deepened, ripened. You, on the other hand, have gotten, you know, sort of less seasoned and, you know, oddly younger somewhere.
Yeah, because I'm a perpetual kid. No, we were having such a blast with those, especially those Donnybrook videos that we did. Kevin, I got to tell you, you're hilarious on them. For those of you guys who have not seen them, please log on to my YouTube channel. We're gonna be moving it over to voiceamerica.tv very soon on the whatfortalent.com arts and entertainment channel on voiceamerica.tv. You can go and look at it now. And we're going to be moving those over because we have this idea to do a web series, which I'm not going to tell you about because I don't want someone to steal my idea. But they're hilarious, and the cast is brilliant. And Kevin, you're brilliant in it, and we're having a blast.
We're having a really good time. I'm really.
And you know what's funny about it is that doing the Secret Garden sort of launched the fact that I then only made a career doing Broadway musicals based on classic novels, except for Urinetown. And Assassins.
Right.
But,
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, but I mean, that was a classic story, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Is that right? That's a good question. I don't know. But yes,
Cities,
Jane Eyre, your original role from the starring vehicles that you had were definitely from fantastic novels. I mean, Tales of Cities is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, me too.
I love the story about Newark,
Hoboken, in New Jersey, then they, for some reason, they made it about England and France. I don't know why they did that on the show. I thought Newark and Hoboken was funnier.
It would totally work. You know, they just totally updated the story now and did Hoboken and maybe Trenton. You know, Trenton has a little more.
Yeah, and you did you know that West Side Story was actually based on a Shakespeare show? Did you know that?
I did. You know, I think it's called Romeo and Juliet, isn't it? I could be wrong.
Like Lil Romeo, the rapper? Like Lil Romeo?
Yeah, Lil Romeo, Lil Kim.
I told you that story about the woman who was auditioning for Lady Capulet, you know, Juliet's mother, and she was reading the sides. And, you know, they have, in some of the sides they have, you know, in parentheses, in parenthetical phrases, they'll have, like, stage directions or you know, where it was, and Juliet, you know, had, you know, they had gone to their demise, and she says, she's reading the sides, and she goes, "Where is my Juliet?" And then she turns up stage and screams, "Shut up in the crypt!" Because the because she was shut up.
Funny. Okay, yeah. Is that true?
It's as true as many of those theatrical stories that we hear all the time.
Right. I know, because we're not really sure if they actually happened. I mean, some very funny things happen on stage, but
like the famous Jerome Robbins one where he's walking backwards, you know, and nobody said anything. He just fell into the pit.
Because they didn't want to say anything. They wanted to see him fall into the pit.
Really, I know, which is sad. Yeah. I would have said something. I have to tell you.
Well, I like the Ralph Richardson rehearsal for the Skies play at the National Theater, and this is, I think it's in his book, but I mean, so I'm assuming this happened. I mean, more than one person told. But Peter Hall is directing, Sir Peter Hall is directing the Scottish play. But I'm not in the theater, so I can say Macbeth. But he wanted the entire company to come down stage one at a time and scare him to death. He thought the production wasn't frightening enough, wasn't scary enough. So it just wasn't working. So the actors are coming down and doing their, you know, thing and voices and walks and noises and screaming and whatever to scare him. And Ralph Richardson walked down stage, directly center stage, walked down and said to him, "Peter, we open a week Thursday."
Oh,
isn't that great? Yeah, I mean, right. Now that's called real fear.
Yeah, well, you know, and we're going to, I want to talk more about that, you know, as we move on to the segments, because one of the things that you have, you know, moved into, well, I think you've always done it, but you're now just, you know, embracing it since, you know, started directing and running the theater and coaching people in the acting world about, you know, what your views are, how you coach people, because my show, you know, some those people who listen to it all the time, it's sort of not a traditional, like, arts and entertainment show. It's not, well, you know, I'm doing this show next. It's, you know what, how do we do it? You know, what's behind the scenes? Like, I had Andy Fickman on who directed Parental Guidance, the movie, and we talked about the behind-the-scenes stuff. How did he make it work? All of those kinds of things. So I want to talk to you about those things as we move forward, you know, in the next segments.
Right.
But those sort of rich stories always, you know, there's so many stories in the theater.
Yeah, and there are.
Then, you know, I'll tell you one that Michael York told me in a second. You know, when we come back from break, we have about a minute before we go to break. But I want to talk to you about in the next segment. I think let's talk a little bit about Donnybrook, and then let's talk about what you're about to go do, if that's all right. Because you've been really working diligently in the theater, and you know, in our theater, you know, rehearsing and going through. Because this is not like a Broadway theater. That, you know, the Irish Rep is an off-Broadway theater. So normally, in a Broadway theater, people would have their own dressing rooms. Would have you all the men are in one room, and all the women are in another room. So we're not segregated. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
I'll tell you what, we have about 30 seconds before break, so we're gonna end off here for the first segment. But listen, guys, I want you to stay tuned with us, because we're going to come back with a lot more insight on stuff that, you know, for those of you who are in the arts and entertainment world, who are breaking in, who want to get in, who are not certain what to do, this is really going to help you understand things on a more visceral and deep, deep level. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more Kevin McGuire on the Star Power. This is James Barber. We will be right back.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
If you are having difficulty balancing everything in your life, be sure to tune in to Change is Personal with Kim Fuller. Each week, we'll help you do your own self-assessment to handling relationships, family, life challenges, health, and personal goals. Kim and her guests share from experiences and offer advice and resources to keep your life on track. Change is Personal with Kim Fuller can be heard live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Listen and start having a fuller life.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com.
Hey, welcome back to the
now,
Star Power
back
Hour.
To the
this
show.
Is James Barber, and I am with Kevin. I am Stinky Toomey McGuire. On Kevin's character is called Toomey, but yeah. Because we have so much fun backstage, we call him Stinky Toomey. And
well,
how did that come about?
Well, I think I actually, said I don't have a first name. I mean, Toomey is his last name, isn't it? I don't know. And I was a Toomey in the script, and I thought, no, I need to have a first name. And Ted, who plays Will Danaher, said, I think his first name is Stinky. So it sucks. It's like that, one lousy fart, and they call me Stinky for 12 years. You know what they say in Chorus Line? Kind of the same thing. So I don't actually stink. I don't think I stink in the show, and I don't think I stink personally. I kind of shower every day. But
maybe they're talking about your performance.
Yeah, well, it's possible. I mean, I haven't seen that. So it's
certainly not your dance moves in Says I.
My dancing in Says I is brilliant.
It is brilliant. It's like Irish step dancing from.
Yeah, Irish step dancing. An old man like me, step dancing is. I think it's funny. I think it's kind of comical.
It is very funny. And then you get punched.
Yeah. Then I get punched.
Nothing funnier than an old man getting punched in front of people.
I came out of the theater. Yeah, it's very funny when an old man gets punched. But I came out of the theater the other night, and the woman said, "Oh, look, it's the old guy that got punched." That's what she called me. Anyway, and I was kind of proud of that. Oddly proud. But anyway, I am having a wonderful time doing Donnybrook. And how about you? Did you have a good time doing it, James?
Oh, my gosh. I had such a blast, Kevin.
Yes.
The part about it is that, I talked about this before, but I was asked to do this about 2 years ago, Donnybrook.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't work out timing-wise. And then when Rebecca, that show, that other show based on a classic novel that I was supposed to do, didn't happen, my time sort of opened up because I had slated at least 6 months, of my life for that. So
absolutely.
Charlotte Moore called, and I was like, wow. And then, Jenny Powers came on board, and I had no idea that – I didn't know who was in the cast except for Jenny, right?
Right.
Because I, Charlotte and I were talking about leading ladies. And when I got the cast list and I saw your name, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so sweet. And the amazing thing is this group of people, it's rare, it's really rare. You can get along with a cast, everything's great, but this is like one giant family that completely understands each other without question.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And it's hilarious. I mean, Kathy Fitzgerald and Ted and Sam, Curran, everybody, Mary,
I know.
Barb and David and Terry and who else did I leave out? Patrick.
Sam, Patrick.
Sam.
Yeah, great people.
Not to mention the crew. I mean, we just have a blast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're having
And my favorite part is that you get to carry a big old rooster around.
A big rooster around, but we call it something else.
Yeah, we do. You can imagine. It's Kevin's.
Up and your listeners can use their imagination with that.
Yeah, well, it's internet. I don't really have. Yeah. I mean, I guess we can do whatever we want, but I tend to be very,
I think that's
clean.
I think that's wise. Yeah, no, I think that's
so, hey, let me ask you this, because you're working on another play.
I am.
Right.
I am.
It's a pretty heavy piece in terms of the amount of material that you have to learn. And one of the things I talked about a while ago was preparation. And for actors, because I went in, I remember going in for the movie The Green Mile, and Molly Finn was casting it. And, I had my sides, and I was prepared, and I sat down across from her. And she goes, okay, you ready? And I said, yeah, who am I reading with? And she said, me. And I'm on camera, and she has no script. And I'm like, okay. And she had everything memorized. She was the casting director. Every character memorized. And I realized preparation was a huge thing, not just, of course, for the audition, but for work as we go forward.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Tell us what you're working on and how that process works for you.
Well, what I'm doing I'm doing Red, which is a remarkably brilliant play about Mark Rothko and his assistant Ken. And it's a two-character play, and I have an enormous amount to say. So what I have been doing is
learning.
You mean
a play or just in general?
I'm sorry?
I was joking. I was saying
in the play, but also in life, I have a lot to say, too. So, So what I'm doing, what I'm doing now is learning the words, learning it, making sense of the syntax, making sense of the text, making sense of the script, going through the thoughts, you know, what the thoughts are and what he's saying and what it's about, you know, so words on a page are so that they're exact and they're perfect and they're exactly right. I'm trying not to make too many choices about what I'm going to be doing with the text until I meet my Ken and until we start working on it together, because I don't think it's possible for me to sort of come up with this guy in a vacuum. And I'll need the director. Maggie Cahill is directing it, and I'll need her to help, her guidance, and I will listen to her and what she has to say, and also to Ken and how he's going about this. And you know, we don't necessarily have to discuss it with each other, but my performance will be. I mean, everyone who's ever acted in a film or on television or on stage knows that you are only as good as your scene partner. You know,
right.
You can't do anything. You can't go anywhere else. You know,
that's why I tend to do one man shows.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I'm joking. I'm totally kidding. No, you're absolutely right. I mean,
and people don't realize that. I mean, you know, when someone gets nominated for an Academy Award in a film, it's an ensemble film. You know, everybody in that film helped that person get there, because everybody, a piece of a film or a theater is only as good as its weakest link, you know? And, So I'm really just trying to learn it so I can stand up and say it. And then
let me ask you a question on that, because so often, you know, people have different tacks on learning stuff. And so often people say, don't learn anything. You know, in the opera world for music, you come in, everything is pre-learned. You know, I'm doing my first opera, you know, this Anna Nicole opera at BAM,
right.
And you know, I've never done one, right? So
right.
I was like, I usually come in with it sort of understood, and then I work on it as I go, just like
right.
you're doing with Red. You know,
right.
when I'm doing a play, you know, certainly if it's a Shakespeare and I'm familiar with it and I've done it before, I have a handle on it, you know, because
yeah.
I may have done it before, so I have, you know, I have a lot of
right.
the text in my
right.
head.
Right,
but
right.
sometimes, you know, people say, don't learn anything, and come in, you know, with it just, you know, without anything memorized at all. But in,
right.
in your case with Red, I mean, there's such an amazing amount of material that you
yeah.
have to learn. So talk
yeah.
about that, because you were saying, you know, you didn't want to make any choices. And you said something interesting, too. We were talking about the other day, the difference between a decision and a choice. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I can. Choices are, for me, choices are in the moment sometimes, and they can change. And they're verbs, they're actions, they're, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. You know, I always talk about, you know, you figure out why you're doing something and the how takes care of itself. I'm not that interested in how one does something, but why they're doing it. Much more interesting as an actor. I think that, you know, I coach a lot of people on auditions, and I direct, and I think that actors are very smart, and they have really, you know, I say to them, they come and they have a scene that they're reading, or they're doing a piece, and I say, what are you doing with this? You know, what are you doing? What are you playing? What are you doing? And they have all kinds of, they say wonderful things, you know, they've got all this wonderful stuff in their head. And I'll say, well, you know, I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing you doing that. It's an idea in your head. It's not actually happening in the moment and in the text.
Yeah. You know, I'll
and
speak to that
say,
with something you said to me in Donnybrook, and I had it in my head. Now, and in the point where, for those of you guys who have seen it or know the film or are coming to see it, look, it's no big giveaway that there's a big fight at the end, right? It's called Donnybrook,
right.
for crying out loud. And one of the things is that my character was reticent to fight because of something that happened in his life earlier.
Right.
But at the end, he makes a decision to fight. And you actually said to me, you know, I'm not seeing you make that decision.
Right.
And I was – in my head, I was making it. You know,
yeah, right.
As the actor,
yeah,
I was making it, and we were in rehearsal, and I went, wow,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. And
right,
that
no, it's,
point,
that's right. That's
you know,
exactly right.
mean, you know, because you were not, even though I was making the choice to do it, it was not clear. You know,
yeah,
and
well, it was,
it's
you,
vitally
you kept, it was a personal, it was, you personalized it as a choice that you were making, and you weren't sharing it with us. You know, we didn't see it. And that is so common. And people go to auditions and go, oh, I did such a good audition. And the casting director or the director will say to me, you know, they didn't really do anything. You know, they didn't do anything, you know, and you want to make choices that are compelling. You want to, you know, you want to move people. You want to fight them. You want to teach them. You want to, you know, educate them. You want to seduce them. I don't know. All sorts of things. But you're doing something like that. And it's not that difficult. Actors really know the difference. They just think that what they're thinking is reading, and it's not. You know,
right.
I mean, certainly on stage, you know, we have to see those moments, you know, we have to see the character, you know, dealing with that, you know, like making that decision, you making that decision at the end of the musical, that you're going to punch somebody, you know,
and it's a big decision for this guy, because he's pretty much given up, you know.
Yeah, and it also makes sense the end of the first act when you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you realize that you're really struggling with this because you're being pushed to that. And then I think the payoff for you is at the end when you say, you know, I'm going for it, and you start, you know, clocking Danaher.
Yeah.
You know, which the audience is going, yes, thank God.
Yeah. And then you get clocked as well, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. But it's a struggle. It's what the whole kind of arc of the character is for you.
It is. It truly is. And the thing, too, is I think it's important because, you know, look, actors have egos. You know,
and so often,
like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know that. Well, guess what? You know, sometimes we don't, or sometimes you need that third eye to, you know,
right.
the, or you know, that objective
right, 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 right,
eye
right,
to
right.
look at things.
Well,
and
you know,
you got to be open
think,
to that.
Right, and I think sometimes actors, they feel a certain responsibility to something that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, so
hey, listen, hold that thought, because we have to take one more break. We're going to come back on our segment.
Okay.
Listen, guys, see, this is what I love. This is what I want this show to be about, the insight, the truth about things that you're not going to get anywhere. I'm very excited about this. So stay tuned with us, guys. We'll be right back after this break with more Kevin McGuire on the Star Power Hour. We will be right back.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel, or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4Talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4Talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm not going to delay, because this is what I love. This is why I got into this. Well, I shouldn't say that. I got into this industry because I liked to become other people, mostly because I had an interesting upbringing. It was, you know, I went to different schools than kids around me. I went to, you know, I wasn't raised with kids in my neighborhood, and it was just a very interesting upbringing. It was a great upbringing, but I like to escape. So my thing was, I always became other people. You know, I went and became an astronaut or played in my backyard. I had 2 acres of woods in my backyard and became other people. So I found a cool thing about that is that I could escape. I was still me at the end of the day. But what I was able to do was learn about all these different things and look at life in different perspectives, right? So I was looking at life as a homeless person or as an astronaut or as a person of a different race or as a person of a different religion. I would always become those things. And it taught me so much about life because I wasn't looking at it from my perspective only. So when I got into it and started going, wow, I actually want to do this for a living. I want to make my life this. It's when the stuff that Kevin's talking about came to reality for me that I went, wow, there is so much more to this than just, hey, I want to do a movie. Hey, I want to do a show. There's depth, there's understanding, and there's an actual craft to doing it. So, you know, anyway, I'm excited. I'm really excited about this. So we were talking about the fact that you need that objective third eye, that third party sometimes to look at. And you were talking about actors, and I can't, you know, I don't know where you were going to go. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Being responsible to things and not actually, being responsible to the product instead of being responsible for the character and the choices that the character is making and the choices that they have made for the character. We want to, especially in like really expensive shows. I mean, really expensive musicals that people are spending a lot of money on. I think a lot of the times the actors are, you know, they will forego the idea of really doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't know whether it's fear or what, because it's not exactly what maybe the producers had in mind or right. Not maybe exactly what the director had in mind, but it's what your contribution to it is. It's always going to be more interesting to the audience than what a producer thinks. Mr. Fairfax in Rochester is supposed to be, you know?
Right.
And I think that's one of the essential things about doing that kind of work is that the actor, you know, is able to craft a performance. And I think directors and producers that allow that to happen really are more successful in some way. You know,
yeah, I agree. You know, there's also something that I found in, you know, I was doing a show that I won't name, and I was talking to somebody who was in the show, and I'm a workaholic. I mean,
yeah.
You know, look, I have a family, and I enjoy my life, and we have fun creating the videos, but I really like creating. And
yeah.
So especially when I'm doing a show, and I also come from a producerial standpoint, I don't know, but, you know,
right.
Look, we're doing multi-million-dollar musicals. You know, some of the musicals that you and I have done are in the
right.
tens of millions of dollars. That's,
right.
you know, and it, unlike film, if it closes, that's it. You know, so there's
yeah.
a lot riding on it. It's not like you have a DVD or cable, you know, or pay-per-view
right.
viewing.
No, absolutely. Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I remember talking to somebody, and there were things that weren't 100% in one of these scenes. So I had, you know, I spoke to the stage manager, and I was like, listen, I'd really like to work on this because I think we can get it better. We can, you know, make it, you know, even better. And I, you know, then we talked to the person that, you know, that was working with me, like, well, you know, I don't know. I think it's fine. You know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
And the problem was that I said to that person, the tickets at that time were about $100 a ticket.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, here's the thing. I said, people are paying $100 a ticket to come and see us. You know,
right.
And some people, that's a lot of money, especially
yeah,
in today's time.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
come and see
is.
The show. You know, I don't want to give them 75%. I want to give
no,
them
100% right. Right. That's
as much
exactly
as I can every
right.
show.
And
it's our responsibility to work
that. They don't want to pay $100 to see you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I mean, they pay $100 to see the character. I mean,
yeah,
they,
well, it's my college mentor,
to see
Rich
Mason. Show. Yeah, how this
yeah,
how, what the world of this play is, you know, or what
yeah.
the world of the musical is. So,
yeah.
you know, you have to give yourself that, you know. I think that's, you know, I mean, that's what I have issues with sometimes with film and television stars who seem to be the only ones working on Broadway in plays and in musicals. Because you go and you know, you think you're going to see a Tennessee Williams play and you end up thinking it's the Scarlett Johansson. And not that she's not wonderful, she's great, but she's a star and you're sort of watching her and thinking it's her in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. You know, and so you sort of there's a part of it that you sort of lose Maggie. you know, because
right. in many ways, you want to lose, you know, Scarlett
and see. Right. I mean, she's wonderful. It's part of it. It's part of the issue, you know, of watching it. You know, people will say, oh, you know, the Kelsey Grammer musical was fantastic. I'm like, okay, you mean Lacage?
Yeah.
And he was great. But it was like the Kelsey Grammer musical.
Yeah, you know, well, here's the interesting thing about that, though.
I mean, these people are very talented and wonderful people. But, you know, I mean, anyway, so...
Yeah, but wait, let me address that, because I think it's important that, you know, because there's also an insight that we have that, I mean, theater people who work in the theater understand it. But again, because the economy is the way it is,
right.
You know, producers are stacking and hedging their bets by bringing stars in because they
right.
want tickets
right.
to
Absolutely.
Sell. So it's
Absolutely.
A catch-22. I mean, you've got people like Hugh Jackman comes on Broadway. He's amazing. He's a theater guy. That's where he started.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And then there are people that cross over that can do it. But, you know, I think producers are hedging their bets. You know, because
I think they have to. Right, exactly. Yeah. But you know, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that I think it's a particular kind of challenge for the actor.
Absolutely, I totally agree. It's a totally different thing to do. If you've never acted, look, acting on stage and film are completely different in terms of.
But good acting is good acting.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I think Meryl Streep would say.
The underlying choices and the choices you're making and the motivations that you're doing
are the same.
You know, it's just how you're going to do them.
Exactly. I mean,
let's talk about that, since we're talking about that, because now you coach and you actually have success. One of your students is now going to be in Trip to Bountiful, correct?
I've had a lot of success. Yeah. I mean, I make them do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't let them leave until they're actually doing something.
Now, did that come out of...
They can go into their show their work in that way. You know, they're not just frightened and thinking, I hate auditioning. They're actually, they've challenged themselves in some way to, like, do something. So,
right.
You know, that's what I... And because, as I said earlier, in the earlier segments, you know, they have all of these things in their heads. I mean, ideas in their heads are wonderful, but the idea, you can't play an idea.
Right.
You can't play the idea that this is what you think you're doing. You have to actually do it. You know, that's where the craft comes in. That's where your talent is. That's where your imagination is. You know,
so let's say they come in and they're, you know, I have an idea that, you know, that I'm in love with this person. Well, why are you doing? Well, I'm in love with them. Okay, great.
Right.
Or whatever their idea is. How do you break it down for them? And, you know, obviously, I don't know. We can figure out a way if people want to, you know, coach with you eventually, that they can get in contact with you. But how do you break it down for them?
What do you love about this person? You know, what do you love about the person that you're in love with? I mean, what are the things? Her smell, his smell, whatever. Ears, earlobes, their nose, the way their eyes twinkle. I mean, so. It activates the actor when they have made specific choices like that. Or, you know, you love the sound of their voice. You love their backside. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, you just love them because they have the same political beliefs that you have. Yeah. You love them because they're, you know, whatever. So that's one thing. And then, you know, you can write these things down. You know, you can, like, write it in a script, you know. So how do you go about expressing your love to this person? Or do you want to express your love to this person and you can't? So it has to be there and you're hiding it. Are you just, you know, full throttle, you know, going for it? How do you want to go about this? You know, how does this manifest itself in the character that you can play?
I'm familiar with this, but so then you would have them write these things down or make note of them within their script so that as they're going through, they can actually apply these things to the lines and to their actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, where did this come from for you? Because I know that I want to talk about this in our last segment and move forward. We have a couple minutes in this one, but did it come from you establishing your theater and then directing a lot and therefore...
Yeah. Yes.
That's how coaching came about.
I also realized that actors are very literal, you know, and there's nothing literal about most scripts. There's nothing literal about characters. You have to deal with this sort of maladjusted, crazy thought processes of this character. And I think actors try to make it make sense. And a lot of times, characters don't make any sense. I mean, the whole of it is makes sense, but the moments, the little moments and transitions from one thought to the other, from one, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die. Oh my God, I've never been happier in my life. Oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm mortified. You know, I want to, whatever those feelings are, whatever that is, and those transitions into those choices are interesting for an audience to watch on the journey of this thing. And then together, I mean, I describe it as like a archaeological dig, you know, where you're building, when making a character. You go into a cave and you find a bone. And you find another bone, and you put it aside, and then you put another bone, and then you put another. You find all the bones, and then you put it together, and say, "Oh, look, it's a horse," or you know, "Who is this? What is this that I've made with these bones?" You know, it's like, but you build it like that. It's like that's the craft. Like you know, you're out. You're in rehearsal. You should be looking for what's interesting and what's compelling to you. Yeah. You know, to do. As an actor,
you know what I love? You know what I love about, and I'm going to have Ted on in the next couple of weeks. Ted, you know, plays Will Danaher in our show, and he has the script on his dressing table, and he comes down from a scene. I mean, we're in running. Everybody knows the show. He comes down, he opens the script, and he reads a script every day, every scene. And I got to tell you, things change and they're incredible. I mean, there's such a richness in his performance that I love watching it. You know,
he's wonderful.
You know, when he puts his drink down before the toast, you know, it's like how all these little intricacies, it's so filled. And that's work that, I mean, it inspires me. It makes me go, I should go back and look at that script, or I should make a different choice here, you know?
What exactly am I doing?
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, okay, what am I doing up here? But he's a very wonderful actor. He's very gifted, I would say. He has a great imagination. That's what it's all about. You know, it's all about your imagination, you know? I mean, that's what has to be engaged when you're on stage. You know, today, why is this different than any other day? Why am I saying these things? You know, why am I here? What's going on?
And also the fact that why did the writer choose to write about these specific, moments in time? Listen, we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back for the final segment. I want to finish up on this. I want to talk about your theater company and what your goals are for the future, because I'm really excited about the things that you're talking about and where you're going, and obviously you know, I just love you, man. I'm so happy we
met. Oh, so nice.
Let's take this break. We'll be right back with our final segment with more Kevin McGuire on the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. Your host is James Barber. If you'd like more information about 4talent.com and what we do, just log on to our website at 4talent.com. Now, back to the show.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is James Barber on the Star Power Hour, brought to you by what? 4talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. I love that. 4talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Let me tell you before I forget, last week I recorded an episode of Mad that's going to be on the Cartoon Network in April. Eden Espinosa and I, and Kevin Shinnick, who was my guest a couple weeks ago, who created Mad. It's very funny. There's some singing in it, and there's some parody of one of our favorite, Broadway's favorite musical, which happened to be a film this year. So I'll talk more about that as the weeks come closer. So we're going to finish up with Kevin, but I'm so excited about that. I want to have, like I say this to a few of my guests, I just want to have you back on for like another hour, because it's so so in depth.
I'm having a great time. This is good.
So tell me about. Yeah, well, it's great. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Tell us about the. I got to back off my mic. Tell us about the theater company that you started.
I started a theater company in upstate New York, in Cambridge, New York, and I started it as a mentoring company because right out of the gate it was clear that, you know, having a theater company is monumentally expensive. So I started as a mentoring company, and it was a teaching company in some ways. And there were actors in New York and professional actors and non-professional actors and, you know, amateurs, and it was a mix of people from the city, people from the country, sort of interesting group of people. And we did classic plays. We did, I'm a firm believer in, you know, that if you're going to learn how to play the piano, you start with Bach and Beethoven and whatever, and then you can play Billy Joel, and then you can play Elton John, too. And, you know, these kids want to start there. I don't think you should, you know, and I believe the same thing for an actor. The way to do it is to, you know, train in the classics, and then you can kind of go anywhere. You know,
yeah, I talk about that.
Once you get those kind of chops, you can.
I've said the exact same thing because, you know, I always used to say, you know, Olivier or Richardson probably could have, you know, maybe not physically held Rambo, but, you know, Sylvester Stallone, I don't know, and Shakespeare, you know, and I talk about it like dance because, you know, Dana, my wife, was a major ballerina, dancer for Baryshnikov at ABT and all those things. And it's like you need the technique in dance in order to be able to go and do the other things. So I totally agree with you with that.
Right. I mean, you have to be able to dance in order to go in and, you know, do a modern piece at the Joffrey or whatever. I mean, you have to have that kind of background,
yeah.
You know? And so I started the theater with that in mind and as a mentoring company. And it was very successful because what was happening is the process of the work, people were fascinated by seeing the play because it was unlike anything they had kind of seen. It wasn't like finished, beautifully sculpted, finished products. It was, you know, people sort of trying things and sort of walking out on limbs, you know, and people were fascinated by it, I think, you know. You give someone who's never been on stage before and, you know, you hand them Romeo, you know, and you say, okay, we're going to make this work. Or, you know, the girl, the first season we did St. Joan, Shaw's St. Joan, which is an incredible play. 19-year-old girl who just graduated from the local high school, who was a soccer player, she was fantastic. It was Rebecca Catlin. She was amazing, and she was gorgeous, and she just could do it. I mean, it was so exciting, and she was out of her mind, you know. So that's how it started, and I think people really responded to that, watching the craft, you know, watching people craft something, watching people paint, you know, watching people do what they want to do, you know. Yeah. And then it got more and more successful. And we started doing more plays, and I was up there longer. And became a real thing. We had equity actors, and we had, you know, and we did sometimes musicals, but we always did sort of classic musicals, like we did lots of Sondheim. You know, we did sort of literate. The other thing was I love plays that deal with wonderful language, you know. Yeah. And we didn't do, you know, that sort of to challenge people. It's like, you know, the heiress, you know, sitting down and reading a good book, you know, you know, when you see that kind of thing. So it was very successful. I am no longer the artistic director. I was the founding artistic director, and a gentleman by the name of Don Haddon is there. He's the artistic director. he was an actor at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, and he's very talented. And they just opened Macbeth a couple of weeks ago, and apparently it's done very well. It's got very good reviews. I'm thrilled. So it's still going, and it's a great place to work, and it's kind of a destination for people to go, you know, and see things like the Shaw Festival. I mean, it's not anywhere near like the Shaw Festival. They have millions and millions of dollars, but you know, it's a good place. You know, the work has been good, and the quality has been very high and getting higher every year. You know.
So what are your plans for the future? Yeah. Because you're like a master. You know, people say a jack of all trades, master of none. You're like a master of all trades. You know, I mean, you certainly yeah. had incredible success and continue to have incredible success as an actor, incredible success as a director. You're now having incredible success as an acting coach, and you created a theater. So, I mean, what is your vision? You know, in a minute,
you know,
if you can do it for
yeah,
the future.
Yeah, right. No, that's a good question. I want to keep working. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And that's a lot. I mean, when I actually, you know, think about the future, I think if I look back, I think, you know, I've not done anything but work in the theater since I got out of school, you know,
right.
And that's an incredible thing for someone to say at 55
yeah.
as an actor. I mean, I can't think of anyone.
You mean
else.
155, right?
I'm 155. That's right. I keep forgetting. But you know, I mean, I can't think of anyone else. Unless they're big stars. So I've been lucky. So I'm assuming that I'm going to be continuing to do what I do and growing. And you know, Alan Howard said something. I was in London, studying in London, and Alan Howard came and spoke to us. And
tell people who Alan Howard is, in case they don't know.
Alan Howard was a wonderful actor at the Royal Shakespeare Company. He was Prince Hal in the 70s. He did the famous tennis courts, Hal, and I mean he was a wonderful actor. He did films and stuff. And I don't know if he's still alive, but he said something really interesting that made a big impact on me. He said, someone asked him about, you know, doing films in America and Hollywood and everything. He said, you know, he wasn't interested in being a star. He wanted to be a comic and keep moving.
Hmm.
I loved that. But he, of course, became a star because he was a comic.
And comics kept moving.
End up becoming stars. You know, that's the whole point. You know, people who continually move forward and don't let the sons of bitches get you down.
Yeah, tell me about
are the people that end up getting somewhere, you know, and I'm a Capricorn. I knew it was going to be slow, but it's not slow. I just, you know, sometimes we get impatient,
yeah.
But the consistency of it has been sort of remarkable. And I'm assuming that that's where I'm going. You know, that it's not ending. It's just I'm going to keep working.
It's just going to keep going. You know, that's what
I hope.
You know.
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time. It's just keep walking. I think,
yeah.
You know, nothing gets me down. Nothing.
Right. No,
I just keep going, brother. I mean, you know, shoot as many arrows as you want. You know, you got the wrong
right.
target maybe sometimes, but, you know, I'll just catch them, hold them, and, you know, maybe sometimes shoot them back at you. But, yeah, that's the thing is that we just keep going and creating
and, you know,
on how we do it.
You know, as my grandmother used to say, if you're meant to drown, you're never going to hang. You know, it's like,
right.
if this is not what you're supposed to be doing,
yeah,
then
exactly.
it's difficult. This is the only thing I can do. I mean, this is what I do. And I couldn't do anything else. I didn't want to do anything else, you know. And this is what I was meant to do, you know.
Well,
I'm also
having variations on a theme. So, you
yeah.
know, you went to Juilliard. You started as an actor, and now you're branching off as you know as you're becoming more aware of the other things that you can do within this industry.
Right.
But
right.
I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about what, you know, we talked about a couple things. One of the things I don't know if you're going to talk about yet, but you know, maybe we'll talk about it when I have you on next. Maybe I'll have you call in when you're doing Red so we can talk about that process. I think that might
be
good
fun.
For the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
But listen, I want to thank you for being on the show. I mean, we're basically out of time again. It goes so fast.
It does. My God.
Know.
It does.
And I'm going to go see Jenny in Superman and
great, tonight or
tomorrow, because we pre-record this. Everybody, we pre-record this on Monday for Thursday, so it'll
be
the Tuesday before this aired.
Is it
you were supposed
afternoon?
To go too, but I'll call you about that afterwards.
Okay.
But I can't thank you enough. So, guys, listen, I want to thank Kevin McGuire for coming on. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get with him and talk about it next week. I'll maybe post it on the blog at jamesbarber.blogspot.com, and you can find out how to get in contact with Kevin for his coachings if you're interested. And also, guys, remember I'm on Twitter at the James Barber. So follow us on Twitter because we do a lot of Twitter feed. We do a lot of Twitter updates. Next week, we're going to have a special. I'm not even going to tell you. It's going to be a surprise because I'm still solidifying who we're going to have on. But we talked to Chad Kimball. We're talking about having Chad come on. Leslie Odom still. And Jerry Simpson, who we're going to get down on talking about finances and how you can, in this rough and tumble industry of the arts and entertainment industry, and also the other parts of the industry that are not arts and entertainment, how you can stay afloat in this economy while still pursuing your dreams. So I'm grateful to Kevin. I want to thank you guys. Please log on next week to the Star Power Hour. This is James Barber coming to you on voiceamerica.com, brought to you by 4talent.com, your arts and entertainment social network. Log on, tune in, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks again for tuning in this week. James Barber will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, the arts and entertainment social network on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now go check out our site, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.